Hey, how about this?
How about this?
Hello and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we are simplifying the good life. My name is Brock Dittus.
And I am Aaron Flores.
Are Brock, you really? Are you sure?
I did pause kind of weirdly there,
doubt
didn't
that.
I? And this is Nightline.
Is?
We're broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective. And enjoying the best life has to offer along the way.
Covering day-to-day life. Food. Alcohol. Bicycles and alternative transportation. Arts and culture.
Pacing. And delivery.
This is the worst intro we've ever done.
Are you sure?
Well, no, I think we have done worse.
I was having a good time, but now I'm having second thoughts.
Oh, man.
We're in the season of the snap freeze.
Yes.
Which you were just commenting about. Like, the sun is just now setting as we're starting to record. And in the space of 15 minutes, it went from being a warm afternoon to being...
pretty chilly.
A chilly evening, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've been noticing that because I went in to work this morning before the sun went up with, like, four layers on.
Oh.
And I came back with one.
Yeah, well...
So...
see...
it's the great disparity.
Well, but you're a Portlander. And this
right.
I have yet to make it. Apparently, I've done, yeah. I've done the classic rookie mistake. I did not bring layers with me.
Well, okay, so bringing layers, that's one thing.
Yeah.
That makes
you
sense.
Can always strip layers off. Is mm-hmm. the thing, you know.
Boy, can you?
I left. I mean, there's only so many layers you can strip off, and then
right. But if you have more, then boy, you can really strip off the layers.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like I do any better at being warm when it's cold. You, as a matter of fact, have much more experience in that department, so that makes sense. You're from...
oh, you're saying, yeah, because I'm from Michigan, yeah. I know how to bundle up.
Yeah,
this
you're
is
from
true.
The cold parts of
and
this,
I hate
of,
being cold, yeah. So I certainly have mastered bundling up. Mm-hmm. But I did this classic mistake today, and that was I went out dressed for the weather that it presently was.
Right.
You don't do that in... why did... I should know better by now. 4 years, and I didn't get it yet.
We're going to take away one of your Portland anniversaries.
That's right. Yeah, I'm only a third-year veteran now.
Nah, you're cool. You'll be all right. You'll just be cold, that's all.
I will be cold.
Yeah. You need an opener for that soda?
I don't
I left one on the table. Is it a twist top?
It looks like it is not.
Looks are deceiving. Well, unless it looks like it's not, then don't try to deceive yourself.
Sure.
That's how
you know. Even if
really
it is a twist top, you don't always have to twist it either.
Right. You can use the opener. I enjoy using an opener myself because it makes you look cool.
That's true.
Which is why we do almost everything we do.
It's tough as hell. No, that was a bad.
What was?
Using
an opener.
Yeah,
totally
it makes you look tough. That's
as
what
hell.
I'm trying to say as
yeah.
hell.
Yeah.
I
as all
used,
hell.
I could have used a better expletive for that.
That's okay. I'm not concerned.
Okay. Good.
You have a soda.
I have Frizz Coffee, Il Café con il Brio.
Nice. Con el Brio. Wait.
I don't know.
I have no idea what that
means. It's cold.
Is it Italian?
Maybe.
That's probably what Brio means.
Il sort of implies Italian, right?
Because it's not Spanish.
Because El is Spanish. Le is French.
Right.
D is German. So, yeah.
And that dang thing over there.
I think it is from
that's
the
some American dialect.
That there coffee.
Yeah.
It's pretty sweet.
Nice.
It's almost got a chocolatey flavor to it, even though all it says is sugar, coffee, and caramel coloring.
Yeah, when the chocolate nuance comes out of the coffee bean, that's when you know it's good.
Yeah.
And I have, what is this, 4 ounces of Old Crow?
Is that Old Crow?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I haven't had Old that's Crow on your, hand for a while.
That's kind of your official drink, though.
I guess
your
so.
Your official whiskey, I should
more
say.
More or less, yeah. When I get whiskey, at least when I get it from the liquor store, it's usually Old Crow because it's the cheapest.
I don't often drink whiskey.
But when I do. That's a good one. Yeah. I feel good about that. Well, hey, we've got no guest today, which is fine. And that's mostly on me. I called around and nobody's free.
No, it's mostly on you, jerks. People.
Nobody's free to come in and sit down and talk on a podcast at one day's notice.
That's me projecting my anger outward.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, as long as we're clear on that. Yeah, I've already stuffed all mine down.
I'm not going to be mad at myself.
Don't be mad at yourself. Be mad at other people.
That's right.
Exactly.
Why didn't you contact me to be a guest on our podcast?
Exactly. We talked a little bit about rain gear a while back. I was just trying to think of what needs to be done because we have, like we were saying, like the nice weather.
We do.
And the fairly warm afternoons and the fairly chilly evenings, which seems like it's going to persist for at least another week or so.
Yes.
And then after that,
it's just going to get colder and wetter.
Right, right. So I'm just ticking things off on my mental list. I would like to get a trucker hat. Not because I like necessarily the style of trucker hats, but because I'm looking for something that can cover my glasses adequately.
Oh, yeah.
And keep the rain off of them.
Nice wide brim.
So, yeah, I'm thinking it's either that or like a fedora or something. I'm not going to wear a fedora.
That bicycle hat that you wear in the winter, not going to work, huh?
Well, the problem with that one is that I washed it in... Actually, the washing wasn't the problem. The heat drying in the dryer.
Yes.
That totally destroyed the bill.
Okay.
So now it looks really, it's very jaunty. It's all curved upward.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of the reverse of what it was meant to be. So I feel bad about that because you found me that hat.
I did find that. Well, I found that hat and then I thought of you.
There we go.
I didn't go like,
you found the hat.
Brock needs a hat. I should go find one for him.
Well, that makes you an even better person because you found the hat for yourself and then you gave it to me.
I did. Well, because I had one like it already.
It's a classic moral redirection. That was a choice that was made even better later.
Wow.
Good job.
Thank you. I'll try not to let that go in my head.
Yeah. So there's the trucker hat, which I have not yet gotten. I'm good for gloves this year. You got good gloves?
No.
You've been between gloves, right?
I've been forever between gloves.
Always in one way or another.
I just bought a new set of like summer gloves.
Yeah.
Like 3 weeks ago, towards the end of summer. And I've already somewhat ruined them.
Mm.
I didn't really like them much to begin with, mm-hmm. which was dumb because I paid more than I should have for a pair of gloves.
But that made the loss of the gloves maybe more acute.
Yeah.
Even if you didn't like them.
Certainly.
It's like, hey, where's that expensive thing that I don't
but
like?
Yeah, they had these little like rubbery, they're not grips because they're on the top of the hand.
Well, I don't know how you grip
like
things.
Right. Like, how do you...
Yeah.
That's got to hurt. You know?
Seriously.
Anyway.
And you didn't have them on upside down.
And no. And so, like, I would just... What it did was it made me constantly, like, scratch the top or pick at the top of my gloves.
Mm.
And I eventually peeled them off.
It's a place to fixate on.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Makes sense.
It's a good thing I don't smoke.
Seriously. You'd be in a...
I never know what to do with my hands.
Tough situation. Yeah. Okay. So you don't have waterproof gloves right now then, or do you?
I don't.
Okay.
I have a pair of like really cheap military surplus wool gloves
mm-hmm.
that are adequate.
They're pretty thick.
They're not watertight. They're thick.
Okay.
So even if I'm wet, I'm still fairly warm. It has to be pretty cold for my hands to get cold in those.
That's a good start.
So, yeah.
I think
I'll be okay.
Yeah. Because you can get like glove liners, like merino wool liners or whatever, just like mittens, like, or not mittens.
I think that's what those are meant to be.
Gloves or whatever.
Yeah.
But I've always wondered if you could just put like dishwashing gloves over those or like latex gloves or something, like something to basically like a thin waterproofing layer over the wool fingerlings that you already have.
Right. Well, the problem with latex is it's not breathable, right? I mean,
I guess that it's both a problem and an advantage.
Right, right. You're
it's
certainly
an asset
not going to get
liability.
Wet hands.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've wondered about that myself, like, because where I work, we have latex
gloves. Wait, you have... Oh, yeah, of course.
All over.
So you got to try this.
So maybe I should.
Yeah.
Just put them underneath
this
my wool
gloves
sometime.
I was thinking over the wool gloves.
Oh, yeah.
But I guess that could go either way. I mean, wool, as they say, will keep you warm.
Right.
even when it's wet. So that might, it could work out okay. I think part of the concept when you're trying to keep your skin warm is that the waterproofing layer isn't directly against your skin. Because every now and again, I've gone out in my rain jacket and I've put it on and I just have a short sleeve t-shirt.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how much body heat I lose through my forearms when they're just touching the wet waterproof rain jacket or whatever.
Like the water is cold enough that it takes enough of the heat off of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, without some sort of something separating you in the
jacket. Right, right. So I would think, thusly, if you take the dishwashing gloves or the latex gloves and put them over the wool liner, or I guess yours aren't technically liners,
Whatever they were, yeah.
Yeah. You cover them with some sort of mitten or something.
There you go.
Yeah. But I would say it's probably better to waterproof and then, insulate and then waterproof.
Right.
As opposed to the other way around. That's my guess.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, much in the same, I think we may have expounded on this a little too much, but same way as you have your brick on the outside of the house that, keeps the house dry. And then this layer of insulation, which is like hollow fill or whatever. And then your walls, if you just have brick and then walls without insulation, of course, you get cold.
As opposed to the stupid neighborhoods where they have the insulation on the outside of the house. That just looks dumb.
I think they're just not finished yet.
Oh, wait, never mind. Okay. I thought something seemed strange down the street with that house they were building. I was like, what? That's it? You're done? Come on.
That insulation has been on the outside for a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, exactly. It's all about the time and scale. So you have a rain jacket you got. And you're super excited.
Let's talk about rain jacket.
Did we talk about this yet last time?
We haven't.
Because you brought it in last time we taped.
I had bought it just that day, just last week.
Yeah.
We had Emily Finch and Sarah Gilbert on.
Yes, we did.
So there was just so much to talk about with them.
There's a lot going on, yeah.
You know, the news about my rain jacket somehow wasn't a priority.
Just kind of slipped aside.
Just slipped my mind.
That's cool. Because I kept thinking in my head that it was showers pass, but it's not.
It is not showers pass. I almost bought a showers pass. In fact, so I got this at Clever Cycles down on, 10th? 12th in Hawthorne?
Okay, yeah.
Scheiße. I should know this.
I think it's like 7th.
Okay,
there you go. Because the liquor store and the food carts
It's still one way. You're right. So it's further in.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, maybe 7th in Hawthorne. Clever Cycles. And I talked with Martina personally.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, right. Right. And she gave you a hug.
Because
she always does.
Yes.
Yeah. In spite.
Much like David Hasselhoff.
In spite of your protests.
Germans love me. And we don't know why. Mm-hmm. So I talked with her. And she got all these showers pass that are going for like half off. Because all these shower pass jackets that are going for half off, because apparently the manufacturer, I don't think she was just giving me inside information, so I don't think I'm sharing anything.
It'd be cool if she was.
Out of turn here, but the manufacturer that was making them at the time sized them too small so they could get more out of the material that they were given. And then the people at Showers Pass were like, "No, that's not our size specifications."
Okay.
Your smalls are like actually extra smalls, you know? I guess they asked everybody to get rid of them as fast as they could.
Interesting.
So like the new Showers Pass jackets that I was trying on were way too big, and then these other ones were fitting nicely. However, the ones that she had were either orange or yellow.
And you don't wear colors.
Nope. But there was this other jacket, Swerve.
Have we explained to anyone listening why you don't wear other colors?
Have we explained to anyone listening why I do anything?
No.
All right.
I don't think we have. Let's assume not.
Well, implied in that question answer is the fact that, like, you know, is there a reason why I only wear black?
I thought there was. Well, I thought it had to do with the sun.
Okay. Well, so there's a lot of good reasons why I only wear black.
Okay. Number one, it's punk as hell.
It's punk as hell.
Okay, yeah.
I love Johnny Cash. It's punk as hell.
Well, okay, so yeah, so and he wears warm. It. He it's wears warm. It for the brother who doesn't have a coat on his back and the one who's over, like, shooting,
sure,
thinking that we're all on his side.
I mean, you've read the autobiography, right?
And the ones who come home and say that we thought you were on our side or whatever.
Right. But you've read the autobiography.
Cash by Johnny Cash. Yes, best book ever.
So I'm told. It's a pretty good book. It's a great read. Yeah, I totally agree with a lot of the reasons. Like, he comes right out and says, like, I wear black because I like it.
Sure.
And that's true. Mm-hmm. I like it. Honestly, I've been doing it for so long, any color feels weird on me.
Right. You know? You wear red.
As an accent, yes.
Okay. But not as primary.
Right. No.
Okay.
I wouldn't just put on a red shirt.
Does this get into any sort of anarchist, like, sort of color schemes? Or is it just happens to be the case and you
it
like
it? It just
red?
Looks good.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. And then so trace amounts of white, but certainly not a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I've got the keffiyeh on.
Right. That's a fancy scarf.
Yes. Keffiyeh translates to fancy scarf.
Yeah.
Anyway, why do I wear... and a lot of it... Yeah. So a lot of it was rooted in the fact that I would take this half hour to 45 minute trek across Michigan State campus in winter.
Cold ass Michigan. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I could... In order to conserve as much heat as possible, I began shifting my wardrobe. I mean, it was already pretty dark and mostly black at that time, but shifting over and over until just for, I don't know, since I was 19, 20.
Okay. So it's been a while.
It's been a while.
It makes sense. So that's good. That's the reason that you told me back when I first asked.
Oh, okay.
Because I didn't want to be, I was super self-conscious about it. I don't know if you remember this. We were sitting around a campfire.
Oh, yes.
And I was like,
what's up with the suspenders? You didn't say it like that.
But I was worried about being the guy that's going to be like, so tell me about why you wear black. I was honestly curious, but I also knew that's the sort of question, because you hold this like this aspect of your style so dearly to yourself, it's a big piece of... Is that fair to say it's a big piece of your identity?
I think so.
Okay, yeah. So
how strange is that like my clothing is somehow my identity?
Not as strange as you would think.
Okay.
I mean, my clothing is pretty close to my identity as well.
The flannel and the polyester pants.
Yeah, except I don't really have any actual flannel. It's usually like Western wear collared shirts.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I guess so.
So anyways, my thought was that I just didn't want to denigrate you. Like, I didn't want you to feel denigrated by me saying, hey, how about the black, huh?
Sure, sure.
Because I didn't want to say it with a, hey, that sort of thing. Yeah.
No. I don't get that question as much. It used to really get under my skin because I would get it a lot, you know.
Since you moved to Portland, has that decreased?
I think you're the only person who's ever asked me that since moving out to Portland.
That makes me a bad Portlander.
That's not true. But
yeah. Well, while we're talking about utility, I was just thinking my entire wardrobe has been crafted basically to deal with sweat.
Yeah.
Because I have a lot of sweat. Like I'm a fairly dynamic person. I think that means I must have a good metabolism or something.
There you go. Yeah.
But even
which
before,
is why this whole weight loss thing has been working out so well for you.
Well, kind of.
Except for those last 5 pounds.
Well, yeah. Seriously, I've been holding steady right around 200 pounds, 203 or so.
That's still really good given your height.
Well, yeah, and I've been super tempted by lots of tasty things, and after a couple of months of trying to lose weight, like, it's really demoralizing to keep denying myself all these tasty treats, and so I instead of giving up food, I picked up jogging.
There you go.
Yeah. So my new routine, I'm two jogging days into it, is 3 jogs a week.
That's badass.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes from
there.
All right. Yeah. I don't even have like the stuff necessarily. I did go to Goodwill and I found a pair of shiny shorts because that's what you have to have when
that's
you run.
That's right.
Yeah. Just for comfort, you know.
Sure,
and
sure.
I didn't have any running shorts. I'm not going to go running in my Dickies. I mean, I could, but those are for working in.
I used to run in my combat boots.
Really?
Back in Michigan. Yeah.
That's intense. Yeah.
It was mostly like, you know, I didn't want a pair of special shoes to jog in.
And you
want to
prove that you can do this with what you have or whatever.
Yeah, I have a principle against, you know, buying clothes that only does one thing.
Yeah.
But,
okay, yeah. And so that's exactly what I was saying about my stuff. Like, I started out kind of like in a band. I've always been self-conscious about sweat. And Johnny Kay's made some comment about how, like, what's the big deal with sweat? He's from Florida.
Yeah.
Everybody sweats.
We sweat all the time.
Yeah, I understand that, and also fuck you, Florida, for your humidity and everything. I understand, and like, why do we have to do this? Why can't I live in a place where I never perspire at all? I would love this. I'm just self-conscious.
I think it's Anchorage or Fairbanks.
Probably so. Probably so. The roots of that go back to like when I was a kid. I was in a youth choir, and we had these like special patterned T-shirts or whatever, like some logo T-shirt we all had to wear. And when I'm nervous, I sweat, as well as when I'm exercising, yeah, as well as when I'm standing still in a cold room. But I got super self-conscious because, you know, when you're like in middle school or whatever, like you don't know how to dress. And so I had like the T-shirt and nothing else on. I'm wearing the T-shirt, and then like I get nervous because I'm going to stand up in front of a bunch of people and sing. And so I have like these big pit stains and a big like spreading eagle of sweat across my chest or something.
See, now if you were in a punk band, that would be like a badge of honor.
Probably so.
You just got into
but
the
not
wrong
like,
kind of music.
Not in front of like church people when I'm in middle school, which is already a tough age.
That's
so
true.
I became super self-aware of my, you know, there. So from there, I went to multiple layers, wearing like two or three different shirts so that I would just never sweat through.
Ah, see, that seems counterintuitive, but I
it
understand.
Does,
I understand.
But if you wear enough, it covers up the sweat stain.
Sure, sure.
So from there.
That's why the suit coat was invented.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. Did we talk about that?
No.
When I was in Lancaster, the only function my suit coat served was a sponge. It was just yeah. And I didn't even have shoulder pads. It was just, you know, wool suit.
Right on.
When I joined my band, that was when, for whatever reason, I sweat more playing music almost than when I run. And it's not like I'm crazy on stage with movement or anything. It's just, I think it's maybe a combination of the nerves
and
the energy.
Nerves and lights. And
yeah, and then just like the channeling of all of, you know, all of my body's abilities into the, like into my two hands, basically, and onto the guitar. So my body is taking all this energy and like rushing it through my arms or whatever. And so like I would just drip sweat when I perform. So I found out that I could wear these Western cowboy shirts, which were coming into fashion at the time, kind of the collared, you know, maybe a poly cotton, maybe completely poly or whatever.
Yeah, they're still pretty fashionable.
Light weave. Yeah, totally. Yeah. The snap up cowboy shirt.
Yeah.
And so I got those. And similarly, I got the... what I'm wearing right now, the polyester Levi's 517s, I think.
Ah, yes.
517s.
Which are discontinued now? Is that correct or no?
If you were going to buy them new, they'd be at a Western wear store, and I can't think of where one of those is within 200 miles of here. Pendleton,
no,
Oregon.
Isn't there a Western wear store downtown?
Oh, there probably is.
Yeah, it's like an old town.
Okay. I'll have to go look there. I know there used to be a big stack
of
these.
I went right by one.
Okay.
Just a couple of days ago.
Yeah. And I think there might be one like out in Gresham or something. Yeah. But these pants are full on polyester, which means, you know, if they get wet, they dry out faster than cotton would. So instead of wearing jeans, I started wearing these polyester pants.
Nice.
And so, yeah, anyways, long story, very long story made very short. I've been choosing almost all of my clothing based on its function and how it deals with, you know, with moisture ever since, I don't know, like 2005 or something like that. So, yeah, I recommend it.
Yeah, I place a high value on versatility.
Yeah.
In my clothing choices. And I think this is part of, this also feeds into like why I have a monochromatic wardrobe.
Right. Because black is almost as, it may be even more effective.
Yeah, I mean, it's, okay, so it's punk.
And hiding sweat.
It's punk as hell.
Yeah.
But then it can also be pretty classy. Like,
totally.
I can show up in, like, you know, a black sweater and a pair of, like, black jeans and still come across slightly more classy than somebody, you know, in their varsity sweatshirt.
Right.
And a pair of blue jeans.
Their letter jacket. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, even when you show up at the... It's basically the same thing.
Show up at the Tasty Freeze. You want to make sure you make an impression.
Damn right.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm opening another soda here.
Yeah, you finished that first one pretty well.
Yeah, so the first one was just to get a little bit of pick-me-up there.
There we go.
And this one is from the Ginger People. I don't know if I've ever done this
dude,
one.
Is this... Does it have like a stylized ginger character on it? Like
yeah. It's got
ginger?
Like, it's got like a ginger
riding
root
on...
guy with a turban on, wearing a turban. And then, yes, riding a tiger.
Riding a tiger, okay. Yeah. Yeah, no, I remember that stuff is pretty good.
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah.
I'm trying to remember the last time I had that. I used to sell that at the soda shop I used to work at.
I don't even have the cap off and I can smell the ginger.
Yeah, that's how you know it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. A good ginger ale, not to be trifled with. So rain pants. We already talked about rain boots a couple episodes ago.
I wear chaps.
You wear the chaps.
I still wear the chaps, even though I tore the crotch out.
Well, I mean, fortunately, the crotch isn't necessarily the most useful piece on that. And in fact, depending on the sizing on your raincoat, it might that might make it less of a thing.
Well, in the way my bars are anyways, like I lean pretty
far
over.
There you go. So the position you're on.
Even on the flats. So.
Yeah, when you're on your bike. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, it's not as bad, which maybe that's why. I don't know why. Like it. Maybe it's just bad material, or maybe I'm not wearing them right. But yeah, the crotch just tore right out of these chaps.
Yeah, and you use the Rainmates.
I still prefer them. Yeah, there's another brand out.
Because there's Rain Legs.
Yes.
Which is, very similar. And there was another one. The Willamette Week had a big article about rain gear this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and
okay.
I don't remember.
I should have read that.
No, no worries. I don't read the newspapers anymore. Maybe I should.
I read Street Roots.
So many things vying for your attention. Street Roots, if you're going to buy a paper, is
that,
a great one to
seriously,
buy.
Seriously, they're the ones, I think, that are still keeping some sort of journalistic integrity.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Huh. In what way?
In that they don't really answer to any advertising.
Okay. Do they have advertising?
I don't know.
Okay.
I didn't.
They
I
have
just,
poetry.
I just bought a copy. I didn't see any ads on there.
Yeah, Street Roots. And matter of fact, we should try it. Maybe we should try and get, is it, what's the guy's, Isaiah? Is that the guy that,
I can find out. Or like
I forget,
in
yeah.
3 seconds.
Okay. No, they're a great, great organization because they are the Portland's kind of street people newspaper. So people who are between homes or don't have a home or whatever, they can go out and sell these papers to help.
$1.
Yeah, $1 to help kind of pull finances together. So yeah, it's super cool.
So Israel Bayer?
Israel, that's right.
Yeah, we should try to have him.
Yeah,
that would be great.
Well, and that's one of the things because like as much as we're advocates of the simple life, there are ways that the simple life can go wrong. And when it goes wrong is when like you don't have enough stuff to take care of like your daily needs or whatever.
Take care of yourself. Or
right. It's like
people.
Mm-hmm. And usually not like through choice or at least not through like conscious choice. No one's like downsizing because they want to. It's like because from some life circumstance, they have been downsized and can't get back up. So, yeah. Anyways, appreciate what they do.
Definitely.
Yeah.
We're talking about Street Roots, rain pants. I'm trying to like
backtrack
a little bit.
Yeah.
Newsweeklies. Oh, yes. Willamette Week had a thing.
Right.
When I bought the rain chaps that I wear, Rainmates were the only ones around doing that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So you said there's like three brands?
Well, I've heard there's Rain Legs, and then I think there's at least one other brand, but I can't remember what it is.
Okay.
And those are the ones that just do like the over-the-top-of-the-leg coverage. I was reading an article from Russ Rocha from The Path Less Pedaled.
Yeah.
I think it might have been The Epicurean Cyclist, which is another one of his blogs. I was doing a kind of a review of how rain stuff fared in the rain.
Okay.
That was a terrible sentence. What I mean is he was evaluating the rain gear that he had to find out how it would work in one of the worst rainstorms we've had in a while. So we went out and rode in Forest Park, and he was noting that the rain chaps, even though they don't keep your entire legs dry, will keep your legs warm when you're in rainy conditions. Have we talked about that before?
No.
Okay.
It's certainly something I've noticed. The thing with chaps is you don't have to concentrate so much on a breathable material.
Right.
Which has a tendency to also lose heat. I mean, that's what makes it breathable is, you know, you got airflow going through there. So when it's cold, you know, you'll lose a little bit of heat that way. But since it's only covering half your legs, it doesn't matter if it's breathable or not. Like
the rest of your leg is breathing already.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So yeah, it blocks a lot of the wind and it's usually a thicker material and yeah, keeps my legs warm anyways.
Yeah.
To the point where there's been a few times I've worn them and, you know, you have like these intermittent Portland showers where it comes down really hard and then the sun and then comes down
right.
really hard. And I'm not going to just pull my chaps off like, you know, right after it rains.
Yeah. Even though they're designed to be rolled up, right? They're designed to be rolled up and worn like a belt in theory, but I never do that.
I never do that either.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, so I keep riding, the sun is out, and my legs sweat, actually, because it is a much thicker material.
But they stay warm.
But they stay warm.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm a big fan of those. Maybe before we get off this, because we've been talking about this for a while, but one thing I noticed that I was really excited about was that depending on your upper body gear and whatnot, sometimes if you're tall and lanky like I am, the sleeves on your clothing won't be long enough to reach all the way to your gloves when you put them on.
Yeah,
I have this great jacket that I love. I have this great sweater that I love, but neither of them are long enough to cover all the way to the glove. So I've got the top halves of a pair of socks. And actually, that one mic, the shitty mic that we have, like covered up with a piece. Yeah, that's the bottom half of the sock. And then the top half I use for like arm warmers.
Okay.
Basically,
yeah,
between my gloves. So if you have an old pair of wool socks and you don't feel like stitching them up or whatever, that's something you can do.
One of my first raincoats had like a fleece lining in it, and it was also not long enough. So I took an old sweatshirt and like cut like part of the sleeves off of that and sewed that into the fleece lining.
Nice. Nice.
You've got that. And plus the cuff, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Do you remember those flannel lined jeans that were in fashion for like a year? I mean, they were based on things I think that probably have existed throughout time as long as jeans have existed. But, as far as popular fashion was concerned, they were only on the market for about a year.
Okay.
But you could tell that they were flannel lined because you'd cuff them at the bottom.
Right.
And then there'd be like a flannel. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. I should have gotten on that when that was a fad. But yeah. So it's kind of like those flannel and whatnot.
Oh.
Lining materials. Good stuff.
Coming back to the jacket.
Yeah.
Swerve was the name of the company.
Swerve, who made the pants that I like.
Exactly. So they got this new line, Swerve Black.
There you go.
Which,
it's better for you.
Sure, yeah.
It's black.
It's not necessarily the color, I think, but they do have a lot of like all black jackets and pants and whatnot.
Okay. It's more of a statement.
Punk
as fuck.
Yeah, there you go. No, I'm trying to describe like from what I read, but I'm getting nothing now. Anyways,
that's okay. No, it sounds
Swerve
cool.
Swerve is the name of the company that did it.
Yeah, and I like what they do.
And they're a great company.
My pair of pants finally fell apart.
Wax cotton.
There you go.
Yeah, as opposed to a polyester they went with wax cotton because it's more sustainable cotton.
Uh-huh.
I mean, cotton's kind of evil as far as materials go, but less.
Yeah, no more evil than like polyester, which is made of oil.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
Exactly. Not quite as good as wool. It is wool lined, though.
Nice.
Anyways.
Yeah, yeah. Wax cotton, I just learned. I always thought it was like regular cotton with like a coating of wax over it.
Right.
No. Actually, the threads are waxed.
Yes.
Which is crazy.
Isn't that neat?
Yeah. Yeah. That means it's like waterproof on both sides.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Apparently sailors did this.
Or as Mos Def would say, black on both sides.
Damn right.
Yeah. Well, hey, do you want to do some headlines?
Let's do some headlines.
All right. Do you have those?
Shit, I don't.
That's okay. Check it out and see if you can find them by the time the headline sounder is done.
I bet I could.
It's the sound of Aaron furiously searching.
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike?
Like, this is the longest I've let that song roll.
Oh, that's all right.
Still loading. Why don't you read?
But you found it?
Well, it's there. It's just loading
up. Okay,
so
sure.
Why don't you read the first one?
Yeah, my internet speed is very slow, too. Let's see. Engadget from Logan, our friend Logan, down in California at the moment, living in a tiny house. Bike Plus is a security alarm and fitness computer for bicycles. Bike thieves are a resourceful lot. No matter what form of lock is used, given the time and the inclination, such ne'er-do-wells will snatch up your two-wheeled transportation. Y-MM, a startup based in Santa Clara, California, aims to make it harder for them to steal your cycle with its brand-new product, Bike Plus, a combination alarm system and cycling computer. The device itself is what you see in the photo above, which you're listening to the radio, so you can't see that. There's a link here. Can be mounted with some specialty hardware to make removal difficult on the down tube of any bicycle. Inside, there's a Verizon-compatible 3G radio, GPS, Bluetooth, altimeter. Is it altimeter?
Altimeter. No, altimeter.
Yeah. That's measures your height. or like the elevation, accelerometer, which is how you play cool games on the iPod, and a 1300 mAh rechargeable battery and enough flash memory to hold all your data from a year's worth of rides. All told, Bike Plus weighs about 7 ounces, so it won't add too much heft, and is slated to be available before the end of the year for under $200, unquote, according to company president Kevin Farner. So what you've got here is a bicycle computer, so like you can keep track of your speed, and if, like you, like me, you've been counting your calories based on your workout data, this would have a way to collect that information. Plus, it's got a like a GPS beacon, so if somebody steals it, you know where it is.
You know where to get it.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So,
but what if somebody steals your, like, what's stopping them from just pulling that computer off your bike, really?
Right, right. And what they were saying here apparently is specialty hardware to make removal difficult. And I didn't look into this. I'm not sure. I know there were other bicycle products that were made with specialty, like specialty screw heads.
Uh-huh.
With like basically for a screwdriver that you couldn't get just anywhere.
Right.
I don't know if it was star shaped or some like other configuration.
Kind of like the bolts you see in bathroom stalls.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, and also kind of like bike staples, at least in Portland. I know that they put them down with, the newer ones are put down with something that is very hard to remove unless you have a very specialized tool. So, yeah.
Did you know the fire hydrants, that top bolt, is not a hexagon?
Oh, really?
Yes, it's a pentagon.
Is it five-sided?
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
So the government is watching us everywhere from fire hydrants.
Yes. So yeah, you need a special tool to loosen that up to
there
get the
go.
Water going.
Either that or Satanists. Yeah.
Who's to say they're any different?
Well, either way, they're not working right now.
That's right. And yet they still track me down to find their money for student loans.
I would imagine so.
Anyways.
Yeah, you got the next one?
Yes. Right. Z News. Kolkata residents fume as government bans cycling on key roads. Oh, yeah, I read this. This made me so mad.
Yeah.
The Mamata Banerjee government's...
Well done.
Thank you.
That's what I would have done.
Recent decision to ban cycling on main roads in the state capital of Kolkata has left thousands of residents in this eastern metropolis seething with anger, reports said on Tuesday. Not only this, the city police have also barred bikers as well as the popular hand-pulled rickshaw pullers from plying on main roads. The government ban has triggered angry protests by cyclists who claim the government has turned a blind eye towards them as they've been banned from the main roads. While the state government has its own reasons to defend the ban, the police claim that prohibition on bicycles is needed to thwart any potential terror attacks on the city.
Yeah, so this is another way in which, yeah, terrorism is being used against the people.
Yeah, yeah. There's
I mean,
great,
not in the traditional way.
Speaking of street routes, there's a great article about Oregon suing the U.S. government. Well, suing the DEA.
That's going to be hard with the shutdown.
Yeah, a little bit. So Oregon suing the DEA on their approach to getting medical records from people.
Interesting. Okay.
We can talk about that later.
Yeah.
So State Transport Minister Madan Mitra says the average traffic speeds locally are down to 8 to 11 miles per hour as compared to India's average of 13 miles per hour. It's a decision to ease the traffic bottlenecks and increase the speed of vehicles. It will relieve chronic congestion on its overcrowded streets, says the minister, adding, it's not a blanket ban. One can ride cycles in lanes and by lanes of the city. The police department has seized a large number of bikes since the ban was imposed by the state government.
So there's a bunch of big problems happening in Kolkata, India, because of this. The trick is it seems to be kind of done in a way that doesn't really play nicely with other people. This kind of connects a little bit to what Jonathan Moss has said, and I kind of tend to agree with, about how the Sharrow markings in Portland have been used improperly, not improperly, but not in the way that they were designed to be used. Cities, I think, intended to use Sharrows on major boulevards. Yes.
Yeah.
Basically like saying, hey, bikes are going to be here, so expect them, say, on Hawthorne or Sandy or Foster Road or other big arterial streets. Right, right. But then those were taken and put down on neighborhood greenways, or what do they call them now? Neighborhood greenways?
That's what I've been calling.
Yes. They used to be called bicycle boulevards. Yeah. They've been using them on those instead of on major streets. And because of that, now there's confusion in the general populace, which is why they don't use them on the big streets, because people associate them with a safer, more quiet ride. When that wasn't necessarily the original intent of the Sharrow marking.
No, that's not supposed to be the case.
All that to say that in Calcutta, when they're working here with this new bike ban, they're saying you can't use the major roads because it's going to slow down car traffic. And let me ask you, is the difference between 8 to 11 miles per hour and 13 miles per hour, how big of a difference is that?
Fucking huge, man.
That makes me angry. It does.
That's 5 whole miles per hour from 8 to 13.
Right, right. I mean...
Per hour in a city street that you're on for 15
ridiculous.
Minutes.
It's ridiculous. That's what I'm going to say. And it's been proven all over the world that bicycles and vehicles of other kinds can exist pretty happily, I think, in major streets, as long as everybody plays nice and everyone pays attention to what's happening around them and knows the rules of the road and how they're supposed to work.
This includes bicyclists, though,
yes,
too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, keep going.
Sure. Sorry. Well, what I was going to say is that I don't know how it actually is when you're trying to get around in India. I have heard that in most of Asia, the roads work slightly differently than they do here. So, I mean, it's possible that that there is some merit to what these folks are saying. Regardless, this was sent in, I believe, is it Joineth? There was a piece of mail sent in from one of our listeners. There is a toll-free number you can call internationally to call and register your support against the ban on cycling in Kolkata. I'm going to make the disclaimer now that I don't know that this will be entirely toll-free, so we won't make that claim.
It is a call, like, to India?
Yeah, use Google Voice.
Yeah.
Use Skype. There you go. Use whatever. But yeah, if you want to add your voice to the conversation, there it is. So anyways, nice. Interesting stuff.
And if you want to drunk dial Congress,
that's right.
Drunkdialcongress.org.
Yeah. I'll be doing that later on. Yeah.
I think that's a great idea, whoever set up that website.
Totally.
Next, Bike Portland, Barber Boulevard Road Diet addressed at City Council meeting. Oh, yeah. So I told you earlier, last week ran into the BTA people.
Yeah. And they've been involved in some of this.
Yeah, and that was one of the things that Carl was talking about, was like the people are just hopping mad on Barber Boulevard. He has expressed some frustration about that. Anyhow, City Council took up a resolution yesterday to endorse the Southwest Corridor Plan. To endorse.
Really?
To endorse the Southwest Corridor Plan, a regional planning effort to determine the best way to implement high-capacity transit through the Barber Boulevard corridor in Southwest Portland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thanks to a concerted push led by the BTA that included groups like Friends of Barber, Oregon Walk, City Club of Portland, and others. This hearing was pegged as an opportunity to speak up for two projects in the corridor plan that would study the impacts of a lane diet on Southwest Barber Boulevard. Some highlights of the meeting? No staff from the Oregon Department of Transportation attending the hearing.
Yeah, even though ODOT is the organization that kind of maintains and takes care of that section of road, they weren't there.
Interesting, given the fact that ODOT is one of three official partners on the plan.
I should just let you read that.
Sure. ODOT, that's all right. ODOT has still not shared with us who the concerned anonymous stakeholders are. Oh, yeah, this is one thing Carl brought up to me when I ran into him.
Yeah.
Like, who's pulling the strings here? Yesterday at the council, Commissioner Novick shared one of them, the City of Portland's Freight Advisory Committee. Aren't those the same people who were, like, all hopping mad about bike-only roads being put in downtown?
Possibly. Right?
Weren't they the group that was like, hey, you know, you're going to block freight? And
It's been a big concern. It's been, in this whole conversation, as Portland talks about road use. Yeah.
Yeah. Southwest Neighborhoods Incorporated President Marianne Fitzgerald said her group doesn't have a position on the road diet and only asked for a study. Don Bach,
two A's.
The president of Southwest Trails and an ardent supporter of biking and walking in the area said he's very ambivalent about the road diet.
Yeah, so all the associations that you would think would be interested in helping people stay safe and
Yeah, no wonder like Carl was all upset about this.
Yeah.
Novick offered a reality check for people who want to see the road diet move forward. Everybody should understand that just as there are people who people passionately in favor of a road diet, there are also people who are concerned about it.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah, Novick is a great guy. Yeah. Very even-handed gentleman. He is a person who I think he is in charge. I don't know if it was noted earlier on our show, but he is in charge of three of the five.
He's like the most powerful man in Portland.
Yeah, of the five divisions of Portland's government. Like, he has a hand in each one, I think. And so with this, like, he was with the disaster relief stuff because he's about the emergency preparedness and all that.
Emergency preparedness, Department of Transportation.
About transportation, yeah.
Or public transportation.
Mm-hmm.
And then one third.
I forget what the other one was.
Communication.
Okay. Okay. So, yeah. So ham radios.
Yeah.
Which is why he was at the disaster relief trials this year.
So when disaster happens, like, all three of those are involved.
Right.
Like,
because
he's the guy.
Yeah. Novick just raises a fist over Portland and says, listen, I will control you from here.
I'm in charge here.
Exactly. Yeah. But no, I mean, I appreciate, I don't like the idea that, that there are people that are trying to steamroll this whole plan out of existence. That's kind of dumb. But I do like that Novick is at least fair enough to say, hey, there are two sides of this.
Sure.
And we're not going to steamroll the other side any more than they're going to steamroll us. So,
Yeah,
that's good stuff. One more thing I was trying to remember. There was the statistical analysis of how traffic would change if Barber went from one lane of vehicle traffic, of motorized vehicle traffic, to two, or wait, from two to one,
yeah,
as they're talking about with this whole plan. And apparently the change was not going to be that significant. Kind of like in Calcutta.
Kind of like from 8 miles per hour to 13 miles per hour?
Something like that. Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, it wasn't going to be a huge issue. So so it seems like it might be nice to be able to make more room for non-motorized people. And that includes longboards.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right on. Northwest Skateboard Coalition. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's it.
.org.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hey, that's all of our news
that's
for
all
today.
Of our news.
So, thank you for reading those.
You're welcome.
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike?
I like my bike.
That's the wrong
one.
Let's
try that again.
Okay. There we go.
You're taking a lot of responsibility in owning and riding a bicycle. You are now an operator of a wheeled vehicle.
And now it's time for everyone's favorite.
You've got mail.
Oh, wow. I was like really like I was bracing for that.
Yeah. You mean this?
No, we got mail. Hey, we got mail.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we already mentioned Joyneth, but we'll mention it again. Shares a way to share the protest of Calcutta's recent bicycling ban. 011-665-79047. That was bad phone rhythm there.
No, it's okay. I don't know how you do it when it's international numbers.
True. Well, I'll just say that one more time. 011-665-79047 is the toll-free number. So she says it's toll-free anyways.
Yeah.
To call and register your support against the ban on cycling in Calcutta. Do it sober and then do it drunk.
Well, do it sober and then call Congress drunk.
Or there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Call these guys sober.
Yeah.
And then go to drunkdialcongress.org.
Totally.
Johnny K writes to us, always pack cotton balls and petroleum jelly when you go on your long bike rides so that you can start fires even if the wood is green or damp. Completely cover the cotton balls and petroleum jelly and light them. Make sure you have plenty of kindling, dry grass, leaves, small bits of wood, just any flammable substance. But the petroleum jelly on the cotton balls will burn for a while and usually enough to get damp wood burning. Oh my gosh, this is an awesome episode.
I think that was
in
about
relation
last
to,
week.
Yeah, last week.
Yeah. Which it was.
It was a lot of
fun. It was
probably as much fun to do as it was to listen to.
Yeah, totally.
I haven't gotten all the way through. I had to keep pausing it.
Well, that's you listening to, I don't really listen. Although I did sit down and listen to little snippets from like super old shows the other day.
I have to be in the right mood.
Yeah.
Like if I'm down or
you need to be in a self-congratulatory mood.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It also depends on the guest too.
Yeah.
But like if I'm like down on myself for whatever reason, I won't listen. I at least know enough. Like I'm not going to listen to one of the episodes
immunity.
So that I don't like get down on myself even further and go like, oh, that was a dumb thing to say.
Hey, I've got this one. Mark wants a way to make donations to podcasters easier. And I appreciate he included us
he
in a large,
great essay.
Large list of email recipients. Basically saying, I like to donate to podcasts, but it's a pain to go back and keep donating to each one. I wish there was like some centralized agency of podcasters that I could just make a big lump sum payment to and they would be distributed equally. And I don't know how to do that. I love the idea, but hopefully something like that could come about. And, you know, one thing that I had an idea of was we have right now we use PayPal because that's, I think, what most people have access to these days. There's
sort
a couple
of the
other
standard as far as
it is
internet currency.
Yeah. Yeah. And there are fees associated with that and whatnot. But I was going to say, if you do want to make a continuing donation to us, like some people, some organizations, some public radio stations have like memberships or whatnot. As we all know from the fundraising campaign from last year, I still haven't made good on all the promises and offers. So I'm not going to offer any sort of like perks or benefits for like regular consistent donations. But what I will say is if you listening to us do want to make a recurrent donation of like $1 a month or like $2 a month. After fees, I think $2 comes down to like $1.73 or something like that, somewhere in there.
It's not a bad deal.
Yeah, totally. And if, you know, none of us are made of money. I don't donate to nearly as many programs as I would like to, although I did make a round after reading this email because I felt guilty. but I was thinking like, you know, if you want to make a monthly donation of $2.
Sure.
You could do that into the future, and if all of our listeners did that, we'd probably have all of our hosting bills and probably most of our beer paid for. So if you want to, there is an option to say, hey, make this a recurring donation. So, what I'm saying is we won't sneeze at like a donation no matter what the size. We are grateful whenever anyone values this enough to say, hey, we'd like to help make it happen. So, yeah.
Yeah, I listen to fairly frequently this podcast, Probably Science. One of the guys is from Portland.
Oh, you mentioned this.
And I think they got a donation of 99 cents. And they
fucking
said,
right. Yeah.
They said, like, you know, we'll thank you for the donation, but since it's only 99 cents, we won't say your name on air. It was mostly tongue in cheek.
That's
you
great.
Know, it was all just for laughs.
Yeah. Well, and what I was thinking is if someone makes a recurring donation, we will put you in, like, the show credits. You'll get mentioned every month or whatever. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No matter if that's like a 99 cent donation, I would say make it at least $2 so that the fees don't kill us. But yeah.
Or you guys like make it worth your while. Like, you know, you're getting charged fees for a transaction too, right?
The listeners? No, I think it's free.
We're the ones.
Yeah. We're the ones who get the fees.
Right.
Yeah. Make
it worth your while.
And this is already way too much talk about money. It is fundraising season in public radio. So,
oh shit.
There you go.
We just
held everybody
right
hostage. Yeah, I'm sorry, everybody.
We just held your show hostage.
We'll stop with that. Let's wrap up with the email from Chris.
Chris from Kansas City. Hello from Kansas City, Missouri. This spring, my daughter got her training wheels off her bike. Oh, I loved this story. Yes, I quickly discovered my help was no longer needed to get up hills, and I could not keep up on foot anymore. About the same time, my mom's coworker found a nearly new child-size mountain bike that had damaged derailleur. He gave it to me for my 9-year-old son and turned me on to the 816 Collective to get it fixed. The 816 Collective is a nonprofit group that sells used bikes and parts, as well as help teach you fix your own bike. When I took the bike in, there was a guy in town for a conference from Maryland who was volunteering his time at the Collective instead of sitting in his hotel room all day.
Good call.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Next time I'm traveling, I'm looking for like a bike shop to volunteer at.
Yeah, it makes me rethink my travel options.
Yeah. For the next 3 hours, he worked on rebuilding the derailleur piece by piece, straightening all the bent pieces back how they should be. And they even straightened the frame that was apparently bent. When they were all done, it hadn't cost me a dime, and I had the happiest 9-year-old boy in town. Those two things combined reignited my love for cycling, so I've been riding a lot for exercise and for fun. I live in a suburb of Kansas City but work downtown. Unfortunately, there's no safe way for me to ride to work. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and after taking up cycling, I found yours. I love it. I'm on a special project at work that allows me to listen to my iPod while working, and I've downloaded every episode you've ever put out.
Holy shit.
Wow. I'm starting to catch up to you now. I've only got 82 left to listen to.
Well, let's be honest. That's not catching up. That's only about halfway.
Still, like, having, when did he send this?
Well, and yeah, it's true.
Not many under
it's
his
true.
Belt
yeah,
already?
Yeah. No, no kidding. Yeah.
I was wondering, somewhere in there, you said you had stickers now. Are those still available?
Yes, and I have Chris's address, and I'll be sending him a pack of stickers. If anybody else hearing this wants some stickers, let me know.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, if you want to send us a self-addressed stamped envelope, an SASE, as they used to call them, back in the in the mail order days, that would help us out. But if you, you know, if you can't afford it or whatever, if you don't have the time,
I've got stamps.
We'll mail it to you anyways. Just get in touch. Yeah.
Desk there.
Exactly. So. Yeah, it's almost time to put in an order for that would be our third printing of stickers.
Oh.
So
people at Bike Punk will be very happy.
Totally. Yeah. Let me just insert this little thing right here because riding bikes and kids getting their own bikes and a guy smithing out a derailleur basically from scratch, that's pretty awesome.
At
but
no
not
cost.
From scratch, but yeah,
no
yeah, totally.
To
I love
people.
That.
That's pretty awesome.
That's great. Well, yeah.
So, Chris, can't wait till I meet you or meet up with you
someday
when you get to episode 100.
Yeah.
Anyways.
All right. let's call this a day.
All right, let's do that. As soon as I find there they are. Find us on the internet at thesprocketpodcast.com. Send feedback about the program and suggestions for topics and or guests and or drinks. Write to us via email. The address is thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com or call and leave us a message at 503-847-9774. Connect with us on Twitter at Sprocket Podcast. Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for providing our theme music. Find him on the internet at ryanjlane.bandcamp.com. Also thanks to Hertbird for our headline sounder. Find him at hertbirdmusic.com.
That was some Micro Machine shit there.
Giant people. Well, everyone's like giant compared to me anyway.
Sure. And so they would set you up.
Right. And so
or they would set themselves up and then suddenly
right.
You're left without.
Oh, can I guest vocals on this song? Yeah, sure, man. And then, you know, the song's over and I have to spend another like minute or three changing all the height.
Boo.
On my microphone.
Yeah, that's
it's
the
like,
worst.
Yeah, it's like borrowing someone's car and adjusting their seat and everything.
Not, yeah, not putting the driver's seat back where it ought to be.
Exactly.
You know, I never do that, actually.
Oh, really?
No.
Well, I guess that's sort of... You kind of have to take that as a given.
I guess.
With rented cars, but...
Right, right. If it's a friend's... The thing is, I'm not like... I'm always bigger than anybody I know, so I... Yeah.
Yeah.
I never think about, yeah. If anything, small people should adjust the car seat back again. When
well, I can't make my legs any
person.
Longer. Oh, adjust
no,
the seat.
No.
Adjust the seat.
But when I get back into my car, I can't like plop down when it's all the way up to the front. So if you put it up to the front, you should
your
put
knees
it back.
Go straight into the steering wheel.
It
there.
Seems like it's less of a big deal for me as a big person. Like, people can always scoot their seat forward.
Sure. Sure.
But like, if you can't fit into the car, I don't know. Maybe that's... Then maybe it, I'm then making...
It, well, no, I get it. Because you adjust the seat compared to, like, where your legs are.
Right.
You know, or in relation to how you're sitting in the car.
But now
and
I'm
if
just
you
being
can't,
selfish.
If you can't sit in the car, how do you adjust the seat in that relation?
Precisely. Hey, Adele. How's it going? Yeah.
A little bit.
Amazing.
It's we're actually wrapping up right now.
So, credits.
That's how long of a run you were.
No, we're kidding. So, yeah, we're going to bust this out and then go do trivia.
Save us a seat.
Yay.
Hey, there's someone with a bike. Let's interview him.